The last time we discussed in regards to the final khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam entered the Masjid al-Nabawi, delivered a khutbah before Zuhur, performed Zuhur salah, thereafter khutbah continued. Entire day the khutbah continued. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also made an announcement that whoever has any right that is due to him, then today is the day to take back that right. If in any way Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had hurt anyone, lashed anybody's back, then today is the day to take revenge, so to say, to demand or to get his right back. So the khutbah continues, which is called the final khutbah, it's called the final khutbah. Returning wealth, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam thereafter reminded the people that if any person had taken any wealth wrongfully, then he should return it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a person should not refrain and say, I will be disgraced in the world. Remember, disgrace in this world is easier than disgrace in the hereafter. So anyway, wealth was taken away. Then, when the person took himself incorrectly, then he should now return the wealth before he passed away. A man then informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam owed him 3 dirhams. 3 dirhams is a silver coin. Dinar, gold coin. So a man then informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam owed him 3 dirhams. Surely there was no disgrace or shame in this. If you have a right, you can put it forward that I'm owed so much of money. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, we will neither belie the one who makes this claim. We won't regard him to be a liar. Nor will we ask him to swear an oath to verify the claim. How did I come to owe you this money? The Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, do you remember the day when a poor person passed you and he told me to give him 3 dirhams? Hearing this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam immediately instructed Hazrat Fadl radiallahu ta'ala anhu to hand the money to the man. But this happens commonly sometimes with a wife. You might tell her, no, you just pay it now and I'll sort you out later. But we know nothing is sorted out. It's forgotten. And then she feels hard to ask once again. Therefore, you should make it clear also, if I owe anybody, anyone, even ask the wife, I owe you anything, please you must remind me. Or somebody, just by the way, you took some money from him, then tell him that please send me a reminder. Send me the EFT details. Make it a note. Because we forget very quickly nowadays. And thereafter, another person stood and said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have with me 3 dirhams which I took wrongfully in the path of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, why did you take it wrongfully? The man replied, I needed the money. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thus said to Hazrat Fadl radiallahu ta'ala anhu, take the money from him, O Fadl. This can happen also again in the path of Allah in Jamaat. There was a kitty over there. Now you forgot in your pocket. And you spent it thereafter. So then, if you remember, then you have to return it to the Jamaat, whatever it may be, to the kitty. Happens in businesses, family businesses also. No hisab kitab, but just taking, drawing. And there's no hisab, whether wrongfully, rightfully. So all these things now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam highlighted before his demise, return the wealth that was taken incorrectly. Then the request for du'as. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then addressed the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, saying, O people, ya ayyuhal nas, whoever has any fear regarding himself, he should stand so that I can make dua for him. So it was time to make dua now. A certain Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood and said, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Allah, indeed, I am a great liar, I am a hypocrite, and I esteem excessively. He was open. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they had an outstanding quality. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu wa aqallu takallufan. They had the least amount of formalities. Very down to earth they were. They had no airs about themselves, no ego about themselves. What others will say, log kya kahenge? What will the people say? Today we're living in this thing. What will people say? What will society say? But we know end of the day, nobody's going to hold your hand on the day of Qiyamah. I say, come, I help you. In the qabr also, nobody's going to come with you. Our Ustaz used to say that when a person has to leave this world, passed away at home, alright, in bed, whatever it may be, You see, the first person to phone the janazah services is who? The wife. Please see the body quickly. All the same, so much of muhabbat. And now all of a sudden, she's the first one to phone, please don't even keep him. Quickly take him. Make the ghusl janazah quickly, let him go away. Then they go, yeah, haqiqat. This is the reality. Once the ruh has left the body, then nobody will keep the body anymore now. Please take him away. No matter how much of love there was, how much of muhabbat, please take him away quickly. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had least amount of formalities in their life. Everything was simple. From the nikah you can see also, it was simple. The two rakat salah it was. Right? Qari Zubair Sahab from Bangladesh, now we had the old workers' job, when he came also, the Jumu'ah after Asr was a nikah taking place. So he just asked the boy, you the boy, what's the mehr, who's the girl's father, you gave permission, right, you accept her, qabil tuha. Nikah ho gaya. People are worried now. He didn't make the khutbah. Khutbah is sunnah. Nikah is done already. The two rakat nafil namaz. Here over the weekend also, there was a nikah at the Islahi program in Talimuddin. Mufti Ibrahim Sallaji Sahib, Mubarakatuh, who was giving the bayan. There was a big crowd for the Islahi program, sleepover. And there was a nikah also. And the whole crowd, nikah crowd was there. All are waiting for the nikah was the, so to say, the highlight. Simple affair. Bayan finished just at Azan time. Azan started and nikah started at the same time. So you couldn't even hear the nikah taking place because Azan made the nikah maybe in about 20 seconds. Nikah was done quickly. You accept, you gave mehr. You accept, accept, qabil tuha. Baraka, baraka, alayku jama binakuma fi khair. Finish, get ready for namaz. No takalluf, no formality whatsoever. Deen is very, very simple. So here the Sahabi stood up and he said, by Allah, indeed I am a great liar. I am a hypocrite and I sleep excessively. Now imagine this Sahabi radiallahu anhu is saying this in an open forum. Because he knew no Sahabi would think bad about me. Nobody will give me daggers and eyes. Oh, we'll fuck him later on. But he knew that this wallahi for Islam. Now this he's saying in an open gathering. Yeah, nowadays you won't even tell the Shaykh in a secret message also that I'm oversleeping. He complains about me. Why I speak lies? Here is open. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately made dua for him, saying, oh Allah, bless him with truthfulness and true iman. Truthfulness because he says he's a liar. I'm a hypocrite and true iman, and remove from him the urge to sleep when he intends to remain awake. So this time to sleep, he must sleep. As Hakim Sahib Rahimullah would say also, one Masturat wrote to him and says, Hazrat, I have children, I can't wake up for tahajjud namaz, very difficult for me. So he says, if you don't get 6 hours of sleep, don't wake up for tahajjud. If you don't get 6 hours of sleep, they don't even attempt to wake up for tahajjud. Because it's detrimental to your health. Then Hazrat Hakim Sahib would say also, Rahmatul Ali, after Fajr you're feeling sleepy? Now, not as a habit every day, but for that day now you're feeling sleepy and you're not able to make your dhikr, he would say, go and sleep. Is it haram to go and sleep? Now, Hazrat tells us also, some people know, they want to make zikr now, but you're tired. And to make dhikr, to make Qur'an tilawat, you need the energy, you have to be fresh, the mind has to be fresh, you have to be awake. It takes a lot of effort to make dhikr of Allah, to make Qur'an tilawat. Then Hazrat said, after Fajr, you're sitting ready for Ishraq. And you're making your 100 times, La ilaha illallah. But every time you start, La ilaha, you fall asleep. You start again, La ilaha, you fall asleep again. 100 times he said, there's no ilah. He didn't say illallah. 100 times what he said, there's no God. There's no deity. Finished all 100 times, he didn't say illallah also. He might go and sleep. So he can make his zikr properly later on. So there was a Hakim Sahib Rahimullah was very balanced. Mala Hazrat Mala Yusuf Sahib used to say Rahmatullah to the Jamaat, Amis of the Jamaat also. Make sure your Jamaat gets at least 6 hours of continuous sleep. They don't get it, then give them in the afternoon the chance to have some sleep at least. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua. Remember Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were different. Their ruhani spirituality was stronger than their physical energy. So they were running on the spirituality, ruhaniyat. We don't have that anymore. That's why we got to have, Hazrat says, you got to eat properly, you got to sleep properly, you got to nourish yourself. And from the sunnah also, is to oil the hair, to eat healthy. Then, especially in the morning now, to wake up and to use miswak is very important. When you wake up, use the miswak. And to use the miswak correctly, especially in the morning when you wake up. Because when you're sleeping, all the pressure comes on your head. Especially the navel cavity, on your nose. That's where shaitan now he camps and makes you feel sleepy tahajjud time and fajr time. So they say when you wake up in the morning, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, among the first things he used to do is to make miswak. Use the miswak, and how he used to use the miswak also, he used to clean the palate and clean the tongue. And under the tongue, and when he used to clean the tongue right till the back, till he used to choke. Few times, so all the phlegm and all the whatever now was there during the night, the reflux, etc., all that comes out. So in the morning especially, now sometimes we feel uncultured, that he's making such noises now. Sometimes the wuzu khana, that is sunnah there. To make sure now to clean the throat, to choke on the miswak more or less, so everything comes out, and then to gargle the mouth is also mustahab of wudu. One is just to flush the mouth, one is to gargle completely. Now, when it comes to gargling, Hazrat says people now they want to have bubble gum to keep the breath fresh, and then they want this liquid to gargle. What? Mouthwash. Mouthwash. All you see, now when you take out the sunnah, something will take its place. Yes, if the doctor now, some ilaj it is, etc., but all these things kill now the good bacteria in the mouth also. Allah Ta'ala has a balance. The miswak is sufficient for everything. The correct miswak, using correctly also, is sufficient for everything. So when you use a mouthwash, and then people want to have bubble gum the whole day, use the miswak by the time properly, and we find Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam gives so much of emphasis just to using the miswak. Entering the house with miswak, before sleeping, upon awakening. And then he mentioned in the hadith also, لَوْلَا نَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي لَا أَمَرْتُمْ بِسَوَاكِ إِنَّ كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. If I did not feel it difficult upon my ummah, then I would have commanded them to use the miswak for every salah. I would have commanded them. So that would have become now farz upon the ummah, that we have to use the miswak. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at the wording now. He says, I didn't command you. But from that you can understand now how important it is to use it. Every salah, after we eat meals also, use the miswak again, no problem. Many of our mashayikh and ulama don't even use a toothbrush also. They use a miswak, so much confidence they have only in the miswak. Now, some ulama say our food is so refined, it's stuck between the teeth, cavities, etc. Therefore, we need the little bristles now to clean the cavities and the corners and the all the gaps in between. Otherwise, the miswak is sufficient. So one is to use the miswak properly. Then is to gargle also correctly. Then, as I see people ask now, gargle, how are you going to clean everything? So much of germs, bacteria in the throat, so much of food you eat in a day. In one meal, how many different things you partake of? So you need something stronger, you need some detergent, they say, some mouthwash, etc. So as I say, that is the case, then you better keep some shampoo and some soap there in the toilet also for your bottom. There you only use plain water for years. And no problem, you go, alhamdulillah. Everything is clean. But how they bluffed us now, well, for them, they don't even wash the bottom. Others say they polish it. They polish it. Take the tissue paper and they just spread it more and they polish it. And then they put the underarm spray. Or maybe they're using even the toilet spray for the underarms and everything also, just to smell nice. He said, we wash properly. But the plain water is sufficient. Even for the throat to gargle properly, you won't get sore throat. So gargle 5 times a day properly, you're making wuzu as you should be gargling. Use the miswak, especially in the morning, and then cleaning the nose. One is throwing water in the nose, one is to blow the nose. Nowadays you don't blow the nose also. If I find the old people properly, they will close one nostril, blow the right one, then blow the left one. Now we don't blow the nose also. This now is called istinsar, istinshak. The way you throw water in the nose, and then you blow the nostrils properly. So you take everything out from the navel cavity, everything comes out, now you are fresh for fajr namaz. You don't feel grogginess anymore. Use the miswak properly, and blow the nose properly. And when you put water inside, Hazrat explains to us, like how for ghusl, you take it right in, and then blow the nose properly after that. And insert the left hand little finger. To use the right hand to clean the nose, to use the right hand to wash the feet is makruh. You lose the left hand. So use the left hand. Use the little finger of the left hand to clean the nose. Sometimes, now the children also, we're teaching them to make wuzu. If we don't highlight these things, sometimes it's cleaning the nose with the right hand. And we don't educate them. Washing the feet with the right hand is incorrect. Do it with the left hand. So like this, you use miswak in the morning properly, clean the nose, flush the nose, blow it out, you'll feel fresh for fajr namaz, then your zikr will become easy thereafter. I can open the window. So there go the Sahabi radiallahu anhu, this last khutbah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. How clean hearted they were. So who wants dua? They can wake up and they can ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam make dua for them. So certain Sahabi radiallahu anhu stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, by Allah indeed I am a greed liar, I am a hypocrite, and I sleep excessively. Rasulullah. Now understand now from this, we know lying is a problem. Hypocrisy also is a problem, and excessive sleeping too is a problem. Some people they say now, Allah has blessed me, anytime, anywhere. Put my head down, Alhamdulillah, cloud nine, I'm gone. It's a bimari. It's a sign of laziness. Nabi alayhi salam wa salam made dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzn, a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal. Wa Allah ask your protection min al-hammi wal-huzn, from grief, from stress, from anxiety, from depression. A'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal. May Allah ask protection from becoming helpless that I can't do my a'mal. And wal-kasal and laziness. Also an illness and bimari. So to feel sleepy all the time now. And that too, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah says that one of the causes for this is overeating. Is overeating. Person eats too much. Then everything starts from there now. Everything starts from the stomach. Overeating, indulging all the time. So a person will feel lazy. They're not used to do work. That used to do work. Now, many of us that were born in the 80s, 90s, maybe in the early 2000s, were used to doing some work, stand in the father's shop, do some physical work. Now the youngsters, they're not doing anything nowadays. Largely now, which shop they're going to stand in. But they should be helping the house at least, do some physical work that they become used to doing these things. To the extent, some children also now, they don't take out their own socks also. You got a domestic to do that. Take out the socks, put the shoes, put on the socks also, put on the jacket. You can't even do these things. Whereas now, they should be made to do these things at least. Clean your own shoes, put your own shoes on, put your own socks on. Hang up your own clothes. Right? Some of them just take out their clothes, just dump it in the one side in the room. But the domestic will pick it up. No, nobody. They must do it themselves. They must pick it up. Here's the washing basket. They put it in the washing basket. Right? Nobody, as you say, nobody died through hard work. Nobody died through hard work. This is not hard work. This is very simple things. Now they have to learn these things. So sleeping excessively. So Rasulullah ﷺ immediately made dua for him, saying, "O Allah, bless him with truthfulness and true iman, and remove from him the urge to sleep when he intends to remain awake. At that time, he must be able to stay awake." As I mentioned now, the Hazrat Hakim Sahib says, "At least have 6 hours of sleep, then attempt to wake up for tahajjud." Another Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu then stood and said, this is now in the Aam Majma, the Aam gathering. Who wants du'as? Get up and ask whatever problem you have. Now, second Sahabi stands up and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed I am a great liar and a hypocrite. And there is no sin except that I have committed it. Open. As I mentioned, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, you say radiallahu anhu, Sahaba Ikram had the least amount of formalities. No ego, no pride, whatsoever. They were open. O Rabbi of Allah, make dua for me. Every guna I have committed in the book, so to say. Hearing this person's statement, Umar radiallahu anhu said, O person, you have disgraced yourself. Yeah? Disgraced yourself. Now, we might not say it in a gathering, but we give him eyes. Either this guy is acting too pious, or really he's a gunagar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, take it easy, O son of Khattab. Take it easy on him, O son of. But don't give him daggers. The disgrace of this world is lighter than the disgrace of the hereafter. He wants du'as, now's the time to take the du'as. Now's the time to take du'as. So better over here now, instead of the day of Qiyamah. Once again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was encouraging the ummah to ensure that they correct and reform themselves in this world. Although they may suffer some difficulty and disgrace, it is easier to endure difficulty in this world then to neglect the sins and evil habits in this world, and thereafter suffer punishment and disgrace in the hereafter. Better we make complete islah over here. And here also, complete islah, complete reformation. Perfect reformation is impossible. Insan is naqis, insan is deficient. Is that possible for us to get all our branches of life correct? And we've discussed this many a time, the 5 branches of life. One is imaniyat, all the departments of iman. Tawakkul, yaqeen, conviction, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all his sifat and all his attributes. and in the power of Allah, and then to believe in the malaika, Allah Ta'ala has made them from nur, what is their function, etc. And this time, this also mentioned many a time, when it comes to malaika and angels, they have no gender. Unlike now the Christian world and the kufr world, they have the certain angels they depict with, like fairies. They have wings and they are female. So, to correct our aqidah and belief also, that they have no gender whatsoever. These are malaika. Allah has made them from nur. Then the anbiya alayhim as-salatu, amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi, all the scriptures of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now it's the whole thing of interfaith. Right, that you all can now come onto one platform. Well, except what you have to say. Well, except what you have to say. Then we'll give our little statement over there. We don't accept it, period. Everything is abrogated, cancelled out completely. Before we had here in Durban, it's a type of town. Let's remember before that, the last testament, the Quran, before it was IPCI, was it? Mm-hmm. The last, read the last testament. Yeah, this is the last testament, period. There's no interfaith. Interfaith that you would have believed now and interact with one another and have faith in what you have to say. There's nothing to hear from you. To the extent that was Shaykhul Hadith, when Fazlur Rahman Sahib one time was leaving the house coming to class. So he got a little delayed. So he said, as he was leaving the house, some missionaries came. Missionaries, and they came to speak to him. So he said, with a big smile, he said, Maine unko chhe number sunaya. Maine unko chhe number sunaya. He said, I gave them da'wat of 6 points. Urdu mein bhi maine unko sunaya. Urdu too, I gave them da'wat. English is not so fluent. He says, kyun maine unko sunaya? He said, why I made them hear the 6 points? I gave them da'wat. There's nothing to hear from them. There's nothing to hear from them. We have been given the task and responsibility of calling mankind to Allah, not to listen to what they are telling us. They say, I have nothing to listen from them. I give them my da'wat, and then I hijra them, and I left, I came to class. They say, maine apna kaam kar diya, I did my work. Responsibility fulfilled. So imaniyah, to make islah, all our imaniyah, to believe in the kutub, in the scriptures, in the kitabs, and then anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, here very importantly, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the last Nabi. That, we won't say was. We don't use the word was. Because now people say, okay, he was the last. Another one came after. The Qadianis, they believe. Right? The Mirza Ahmad Qadiani was the last Nabi. But they say in reality, he too said to her, I'm a Nabi sitting in the lap of the Queen of England. She hired him. He was the agent of the Queen. So, he would have all these ajib statements he would make. So all our aqidah to come correct. In taqdeer also. This is very important, this zamana especially. The mind is going that way. So, kutubihi wa rasulihi wa al-yawm al-akhir and the day of qiyamah. There will be hisab kitab. Every statement I make, there will be hisab kitab. Every amal I do, there will be hisab kitab. The day of qiyamah. For my whole belief system, my akhlaq, my amal, everything will be hisab, there will be accountability. وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ. This is very, 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 very important in this zamana, my dear brothers. Understand this very carefully. To believe in destiny and fate, in taqdeer, good and bad, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I could be wrong. Allah knows best, but we can. Just a muzakara we are making. But today we have this word, we need closure. We need closure. What is taqdeer? Closure will come in akhirat. People are investing so much in this world, whatever, some marriage happened, some divorce happened, somebody passed away, somebody's business went down. Now there's so much of emphasis, now we have to go for counseling. We don't say you don't have to, but we have to get that closure. What's our ilaj? We said you want closure? Read Quran, read Surah Fatiha, the opening. Read the opening. Allah will close it up. Do what you have to do. Allah will take care of it. It doesn't happen the first time, continue. Allah's promise, Allah will close a chapter for you by opening a better chapter for you. But now you're going to go and you wrap our head around it. Why it happened? How it happened? Why is he thinking like that? And what were the mistakes in the beginning of the marriage for the first 10 years? And now they unpack one thing. As we sing every week, we are allowing, even the men are going also. Now they go for counseling with the wife to a female therapist. Then the female therapist will tell the wife, please step out a little while, I need a little while with this man. That's why he got a problem, sitting alone with the ladies. And now you want to sit alone with him, and she wants to give him therapy. Where his mind is going? Now they want a closure on this. And she trusts that lady. And he trusts himself. Whereas we thought in different riwayat, Hassan Basri would say also, men and women alone, third one is shaitan. Third one is shaitan. Whether you believe it or not, shaitan will do his tricks. How he will do it is beyond your comprehension also. Hazrat gives that study of Busaira, is it? Busaira or Busaira, the big wali of Allah, where his neighbors, they left their little sister in his care, they went for Hajj, etc. They take for the food every day, send the khadim. They said, let me go see her, make salam with her from behind the parda. Took the food, make salam with her, you okay, you find everything is okay. Left the food by the front door. Then as time went on, she was very lonely. Okay, open the door, just to see, okay, you fine, you alright. Slowly, 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 shaitan played the tricks. All in the name of sympathy, finally he did the evil act with her. Then he came to his senses. What he did with her? He killed her after that. Then he buried her in the house. Brothers came back, what happened to our sister? She fell ill, she got sick. This happened and that happened, whatever it was. Finally they saw a dream, which is buried over here, and the whole thing came out. From the wali of Allah, how shaitan progressively, slowly, slowly took him and destroyed him. Where he never thought, it never happened. What do you say? It never happened. Impossible. Me? No. Right. Nobody is safe. Nobody is safe. So this entire thing, وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, to believe in destiny, good and bad, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I got a husband like this, this is my taqdeer. This is my khair, we say, Allah ta'ala give me good taqdeer. Got a good husband, good in-laws. Not so good, that too is part of your taqdeer. But that now, we don't want to accept why she did this, why he did that, why this happened. And the Hadith Sharif is explicit. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ. Don't ever say if. What do you say? If I didn't marry in that family. If I didn't do this. Don't say لَوْ. Because فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَحُ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ. This word لَوْ, if and why and when, it opens the action of shaitan. Shaitan gaps in. Now he'll spin the mind. But why this had to happen? Why? Like questioning Allah. It's taqdeer. People don't hear this. Taqdeer. It is taqdeer. Allah's taqdeer for you, that how closer you're going to get to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now we all on closure and the therapy they're going for. And what were therapy? Brothers even know. Whether it's the journey, whether they're exploring something, whether they're going to the womb of the mother and told the child. Ajib, ajib incidents, we don't like to repeat them also. But what they tell that young bride, that woman now 20 years she's married, they tell her that the reality is, while you're having a tough life, a hard life, will take you back on the journey of your life. They take her back right to when she was in the womb of her mother. What happened then? They said the reality was, you were a mistake. You were a mistake. They weren't ready for you. Inna lillahi. I need to close the chapter now. You were a mistake. When you were born, they weren't really happy about it. That now you came. And imagine how she must live like this now. That I wasn't wanted. Who wanted you? Allah wanted you to come in the world. This is your taqdeer. Allah brought you. Nobody plans for anything. Allah Ta'ala has a qudrat. It happens like, how many people plan to have a child? It doesn't happen. People don't plan. Allah's hukam it was. Kun fayakun. It happened. So all this, my dear brothers, where we have so much yaqeen and trust. The ummah, Hazrat says too, that on the day of Qiyamah, the Qur'an will lay a claim against the ummah. إِنَّ قَوْمٍ تَخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا فَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ, the Nabi of Allah will say, oh my Rabb, my people threw the Qur'an behind their backs. They abandoned the Qur'an Sharif. They abandoned the Qur'an Sharif. And the Qur'an Sharif promises, إِشْفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Quran is a cure for whatever you have in your heart. You got anxiety, you got depression, you got worries. This one is troubling you, that one is troubling you. This thing didn't happen according to your plan, according to what you thought. Quran is shifa for that. How much Quran we should be reading every day? If we read, how much we should be reading every day? There's no time to think about anything else. I will finish my Quran. That's why we're telling many, many people that are going for therapy, etc. Go for it, you want to. But when there's a vacuum, then all other things will come into your life. We're telling the couples, go for Quran classes. The young girl, you got a problem right now, find one apa, start your hifz. What hifz? Do a surah Yasin with the tajweed. Waqiyah, tabarak. You got sabak to learn every day. Now you got time to think? You got no time to think of anybody else. This is your taqdeer now. You made the right choice, start now. Do your surahs at least. Get that right. Till you know it so well, you're cooking your supper after, preparing the supper after Maghrib, you can finish your tabarak, you can finish your iflamim sajda. Right? When you're picking up the food, etc., you got your du'as, read your yasir, finish one time also. The children hear you reading Quran in the house. Husband comes to hear his Quran in the house. Now there's no time for anything else. So the Quran is the main shifa for all these things over here. Only we get back to the Quran as we should be reading the Quran Sharif. As I explained about one woman from Barbados, old lady. Towards the end of her life, she almost lost her eyes. She would read between, I think, 10 to 20 paras a day. And the children would ask her, said, Ma, so much of Quran. She says, My life experience. I was a very pious woman. We had tough times. But I just got attached to Quran Sharif. And anything I wanted, I would open Quran and read one para and ask Allah to give me. And Allah Ta'ala gave it to me. Allah gave it to me. And all the children became alim and hafiz. He said, I open my Quran and read. Open my Quran Sharif and read, then ask Allah Pak. By speaking to Allah, one para you read, half para you read, you're speaking to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Whatever I had in my heart, after my Quran, I close it and ask Allah. Allah, you give it to me. When he said, Jad Nomani Sahib, his honorable mother, the wife of Muhammad Mazur Nomani Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, Muhammad was saying, when Sajjad Sahib was saying, that his mother's Quran, she used to read every day. So, it was a Quran, she was the Urdu translation. And at the bottom, there should be a little tafsir over there. You see, my mother's habit was, when she read Quran, wasn't just reading. She was in love with Allah, in love with the Quran. Take her time properly and sit and read. Sometimes 1 hour, 2 hours, not even realizing so much time is gone. So much of enjoyment in reading Quran. She would read the Quran, then she would read the translation, and she would read the tafsir. After every page, then she would make dua. After every page, she would make, Ya Allah, give me the reality of this page. Reality of every line, the reality of every letter, Ya Allah. Put it into my heart, put it into my children, put it into my family. And he says, you see the bottom of the Quran, or the tafsir, all of this smudged. See, all those are tears. Every page will cry. And make dua for her, her children and her family and the ummah. This was really love for Quran Sharif. That is the solution. That is the solution. If only the ummah can come back to that. Depression, open Quran Sharif. But now we know our depression, I can't read namaz, I can't read Quran, but I can go to the gym, but I can go to the therapist, but I can go for a walk here and there, but I just can't open Quran. And I can't just do this, what is it? So we should think seriously now, the ummah, which way we're going, when it comes to our own therapy, where Quran is saying, the shifa'ul lima fi sudur. That's why Hazrat tells us, we have a complete system from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't need to borrow anything else. We don't need to borrow anything else. Now we're borrowing this, maybe will help us. That maybe will help us. So all these things now. Now that therapist also listening to so much of problems. Psychologist, as I mentioned also in his bayan, it's at top of the list. Guinness Book of Records, those that commit the most amount of suicides in the world are psychiatrists and psychologists. You couldn't forget, remember the second one, third one he said was dentist. Why dentist number 3? Allah knows best. Right, working people's mouths, etc., will be knocking their brains, maybe different smells, different experiences, what they're seeing all the time. Right? So, Allah Ta'ala give us that if only we can fall in love with Quran, Shia, or Musturat also, we have to create an environment at home. If only they're having gham, depression, go to an apa, or Salma Yasin Sharif. They may get it right, 2 lines, 3 lines every day, then waqiyah, tabarak, al-iflam, etc., till they're proficient in it, alhamdulillah. Then see. But we know ourselves, we go in Jamaat a little bit, you just in your 10 surahs, how happy you feel. How happy that now, I know this 10 surahs so well, I can do imamat also. Now you feel like Mufti of Quran Sharif you've become now. Just 10 surahs. So imagine now if they have to start learning the Quran Sharif correctly and properly. I got sabak to learn tonight. Imagine what will happen to that heart. Allah Ta'ala will fortify it. So finishing this chapter over here. So, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then made dua for the sahabi saying, oh Allah, bless him with truthfulness and true iman and make his condition change for the better. Also one point over here, we're talking about this therapy. As I'm saying, we're not ruling it out. But the biggest shifa is Quran Sharif and kunu ma'a sadiqin. Stay with the pious. Masturat also, find on pious apa, on pious lady, keep the contact, speak to her, listen about what Allah Ta'ala has to say, learn some sunnahs, bring that in the life. That will change everything. So how we can connect to some Allah wala, and how we can make this change in our life, then we'll find that this will be a consolement for the heart. When we link up to somebody pious also, then we're talking some deen. Otherwise it's so much of bedini. No talks of deen coming. We still go now for one Jummah Bayan at least, minimum, in a week. So a little bit now, our mind comes right. Sometimes majlis, some jamaat is coming, go for some gush, listen to some bayan. The masturah, the ladies aren't finding anything. There is no personal contact with any lady also. As Quran says, kunu ma'as-sadiqin. You want iman, you want taqwa, become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Find good company. But we can see now where the company is taking them, where they are going to, what kind of friends they have nowadays. Alright? And I'm repeating this many a times. As I'm saying, I could be wrong that going for all this therapy, etc., is on its place, but we have a complete sharia and we need somebody that we can talk to who can give us the correct guidance. But where and where the company is taking them and what they are telling them also, what mashwara is giving them, then see to the correct and the right things. And nowadays, the certain word now, many couples don't hear now. Make sabr. You don't hear that. Don't tell me make sabr. Don't tell me make sabr. But together with that, alhamdulillah, the husbands are allowing them to do everything. You want to go here for counseling, you want to go there for therapy, then you need to just let off some steam also, you need to go to this place to do some exercise, you need to take a walk on the beach. Brothers, you all tell me, after doing all of that, how many are still happy? Who says, now, alhamdulillah, I'm over it. When they come home, they're even more in depression. I need to go out again. Alright, need to get more coffee. Need to get over it. Need to get antidepressants. They said the ilaj. The qasam of Allah, they said the ilaj. It's not the solution. That's what the West gave us. And their life is so messed up also. Whoever they're following there on the media, on the internet, everyone is into a divorce. Every one of them, the celebrities and whoever they may be, they don't know which way they're going. Like Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahimullah used to call them international zani. These are international fornicators. Every ocean of the world they go to, they make it napak. Every hotel they go to, they make it napak. He said, where are we going to follow people that are napak is? Follow Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. Pure lives. But we know so much about them. What kind of hair color, what kind of haircut they have, what kind of socks they're wearing, what kind of shoes they're wearing, what kind of t-shirt they're wearing, everything to the T. Napak, absolutely impure life. And Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we don't know about them. There's no feeling to even follow them also. How many of them are doing all this treatment over here? But then to the level of depression and sadness and unhappiness. And those that are in deen, alhamdulillah, what happiness it brings. Even though you slip up, turn to Allah, you cry, you feel happiness in the heart after that. How many are going to Baytullah also? We're going to Baytullah, but then to not finding the happiness. Because you're going to prepare yourself before that. You're going to Madinah Munawwara. You're going to prepare yourself before you go there. One Sahabi stood and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am a coward and sleep excessively. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. And such was the effect of his dua, that Hazrat Fadl radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I saw the same Sahabi later on, and he was the bravest of all of us. One dua. And the one who slept the least. Effect of dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned regarding Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that is Umar radiallahu anhu is with me, and I am with him. And after me, the truth will be with Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, wherever he may be. Let what you call is a manaqib, virtues of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has guaranteed that the truth will be with Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then how can people level filthy accusations against him and even claim that he left the fold of Islam? Na'uzu billah. Shias claimed that. Na'uzu billah. He turned Murtad. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. After delivering the khutbah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi, this was on a Thursday. After delivering the khutbah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to the home of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And as we mentioned, we can picture it. We have the mihrab, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and his minbar next to it. And it's a direct walk. He's facing the sahaba radiallahu anhum. He just turns to his right and walks straight. There's a door there which is going to the sihin, the courtyard of the Aisha radiallahu anha's home. So he went to the home of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and gave the woman, the women, similar advice to that which he had given the men. He also encouraged the women to ask him to make dua for any pressing need that they had. And from here we can find sahaba radiallahu anhum, what duas they are making, what they are asking for. Right, we know what's top of our list. My children, rosy, barakat, live it up. They're talking about sifat, about iman, about qualities, of being obedient to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. One woman asked for dua, gesturing towards her tongue. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thus made dua for her to always speak the truth and that which is beneficial and good. As a result, she became so firm in encouraging people towards righteousness that she would even say to her, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, O Aisha, perform your salah well. Give me her counsel. O Aisha, perform your salah well. That is, this quality became so strong and dominant in her that she would encourage all people regardless of their position and piety. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered the sahaba radiallahu anhum to make dua for them, it was a golden opportunity. As the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was guaranteed acceptance. Similarly, certain golden opportunities sometimes come in life where instead of asking for du'as, we earn du'as. They say one is to ask for du'as, one is to take du'as. So when you earn du'as. For example, perhaps one's parents needed something at a difficult hour. So putting their need before one's own, one may win their du'a, which will certainly assist and benefit one greatly. And this you find in many people's lives. Hazrat say, make dua for your parents, Allah will give you a dunya. Make dua for your mashayikh, for your ulama ikram, Allah will open your deen for you. And you found this many a times. But remember, people say, ma ki dua, or baab ki dua, together with that couples, also obedience to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Not just the dua will do everything. You have to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many incidents you find in people's lives, alhamdulillah, I mean, khidmat of the parents, etc. Allah Ta'ala opened it. They took du'as. At a certain moment, they did something. Like many years ago, one of our musallis mentioned to me, MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with deen and dunya. Any sheikh or alim that came to Durban ate on his dasturkhan. Anyone that came ate on his dasturkhan. He used to go for Umrah also. I remember he used to one of the biggest rooms in one of the hotels there, just to feed jamaats. When we knew him for 1 year, jamaat also, he gave us da'wah. There must be 30, 40 of us that he fed. And all the cooking should take place there in the room also, there, kitchen, everything there. And he used to feed like that. Then he came to Nizamuddin, he came, met us there, took us for meals, gave the jamaat that time of $300, feed the jamaat. So one day, he was speaking to me. And Allah Ta'ala blessed him, mashallah, with his children all are alim, all are hafizahs also, grandchildren becoming alim, mashallah. So one day we were speaking. So he opened up a little bit and said, Mutisab, I wanted to get married. I was working hard. Saved up enough money. Parents weren't so well to do. Saved up enough now to get married. At that time, my mother had to go to the dentist and he found her teeth weren't very in good shape. At that time, we had false teeth. So she had to make false teeth, but we didn't have the funds. So I said, I said, Ma, you get it done. All the money I saved up for my wedding, I spent it on the false teeth. I had nothing left to get married. But on that, Allah Ta'ala opened so much. What dua she made for me, how much Allah Ta'ala opened up. Allah Ta'ala opened up, he said, Alhamdulillah. Now I don't even have to count. Children, all ulama, grandchildren also are studying, Alhamdulillah. Great work of deen he did also, Allah Ta'ala accepted. So sometimes, just on one thing only, but remember, Allah Ta'ala opened his deen also. And Allah Ta'ala opened his dunya for him. So there are golden opportunities. Secondly, the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who asked for dua did not ask for something of the dunya, as this opportunity was too precious to waste. Rather, they asked to be saved from their weaknesses. In doing so, they were admitting and acknowledging that they had a weakness. This is the first step to Islah. So we say Islah for all our Imaniyat. We mentioned Taqdeer, believing on the day of Qiyamah. That's a reality. Also, Qabr is a reality. Jannat, Jahannam is a reality. So you got Imaniyat, Akhlaqiyat, or Akhlaq, to get that correct. How we speak, what we say, how we address our children also, what kind of language we are teaching them. So all this part of Akhlaq, how we speak to our staff, to our wives, our parents, etc. So all that on his place also. Then we got after that Ibadat. All Ibadat correct. We just mentioned about using miswak only. How much more we still have to make Islah of? Then it comes to our Salah, our Quran Tilawat, our Dhikr, all our Ibadat. Then we have Mu'amalat and Mu'asharat. Five branches of Deen. So we've got Iman, we've got Ibadat, we've got Akhlaq, character, we have Mu'amalat and Mu'asharat. Mu'amalat are business dealings. They also do it correctly. There's some problems before, we gotta rectify it. Then we have our interaction with family members. Here we fall short greatly. And the Hadith Sharif says when it comes to family members, keep contact with those that break contact. Hazrat says, not with the one that gave you one shoulder piece qurbani time, you gave him the leg piece. And then I'll invite you for bride this week, next week we come to your place. So there's not now keeping family ties. He says, matlabi that. I'll see you right, you see me right, they will meet up. But those that are not giving, not to give it to them, to keep the contact, and then to say, oh, that's all they sent. Such a big animal that dropped, that's all they sent. They'll tell you things like that also. Then to carry on smiling. So to put all these departments of our life correct. So they have to be saved from the weaknesses. In doing so, they were admitting and acknowledging that they had a weakness. Through taking the courage to admit their weaknesses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to which they were completely rid of their weaknesses. Hence the first step to addressing one's weaknesses is to admit the existence of the weaknesses rather than justify them or deny them. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand and to revive the spirit in the environment of Iman and Sahaba radiallahu anhu once again in the Ummah inshaAllah.